and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard to another edition of New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City with Dennis Prout, Heidi Thompson, and Shay Pataja.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, thanks, Ron. It's great to be here, and welcome to all. As Ron mentioned, Heidi and Shay join us this morning. The date?
Seven.
It is.
June 18th.
Just making sure everyone is
Doesn't
paying
seem
attention.
Right.
Thursday, June 18th. Just crazy. Here we go into summertime. I actually strolled slowly into the radio station this morning because it's so
nice.
Just off the chart gorgeous. We'll take it. It's great to be here. So we have a lot to talk about today, a huge amount of information. When I was thinking about this morning, I was thinking about all the noise. But first, I was thinking about my own history to go back even further. And listening to the radio as I was growing up, I would stop by the grandparents' house after kindergarten. And they would watch me for half the day. And I was helping grandpa and grandma and doing chores and all the rest. And they were listening always when I would come into the house to WCEN AM Mount Pleasant. Mm. The gentleman on the radio at that time was Gary B.
Hey.
And the man with the news was Jim Hughes.
Jim Hughes with the news?
No way.
I'm not kidding.
Jim Hughes with the news.
And it was just intriguing to listen. I mean, these were the first guys for me to listen to. They were talking about the news of the day, somewhat similar to WTCM, obviously a long time ago, 1964 or so, when I was about 5 years old. But just wonderful memories of the information that they would bring and the light that they would bring to the day as well. So it's great to be here. We are honored to be a part of WTCM AM Traverse City, Michigan.
Wonderful.
So today's questions, first of all, are begging all the news and light going on. The light show of the current political environment is literally, I was picturing it this morning, much like a giant show of watching the July 4th fireworks. It's noisy out there, isn't it?
Oh.
To try to have some perspective on what's going on.
Yeah.
John Bolton, the most recent example of the noise that's going on out there, and what is John saying? And oh my gosh, he said what? And they said about President Trump and all the rest. Mm. And then we have also riots, a pandemic, the traffic within Traverse City, big and small, some would say. But it is a noisy news environment.
Sniper monkeys, I think. We have reports of sniper monkeys.
Really?
No, we haven't, no. That's
yeah. I haven't heard about that.
Flying sharks.
Right, yeah. Sharks in the bay. My goodness.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is noisy out there.
So it is a shock and awe. I picture it for journalists almost like deep clover. There's a lot to talk about and to try to think about what's going on in the financial region or area. To me, it was like watching or thinking about The Wizard of Oz. Remember when they said, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain? Mm-hmm. Well, in this particular instance, the man behind the curtain is the one that's pulling all the shots and making all the difference, because Congress did three major things in the last 6 months. First off, they signed the SECURE Act, which is making and will make an incredible difference for those of us who are trying to figure out how to use our money in the most responsible way possible, and then also passing it on to heirs. Second, the CARES Act, the Coronavirus Aid Act, the huge amount of government stimulus that's a part of that package, and then the other stimulus package, too, that's being currently, it's going on with Congress. There may be even more happening with the stimulus package. The real thing behind the scenes are all these acts, if you will, ACTS, that are happening that overwhelm the noise and make a much bigger difference for most people in their own financial well-being than any of this going on in the White House today. Obviously, we want to keep an eye on what's going on with that. It'll be an interesting November for sure when all this other stuff blows over. I'm sure it'll blow over at some point, right? But who knows?
When it snows in July.
Yeah, where everything is changing. The newscasters are talking about this. The news cycle seems to get shorter and shorter, but the real activity is what happened behind the scenes, and that's why we're talking about that today. In spite of all the noise, how do you, if you will, and we're talking to ourselves, keep perspective and make intelligent as possible decisions as you're able, given the fact that the law has changed dramatically. Thinking about it, let's use as an example a case you've been pushing an IRA forward for years, and that IRA has grown to significant amounts, whether it's an IRA or 401k or a combination of the two, and you have one or two children that you're passing this along to, the amount of tax increase that they will see as a result of you passing away is about 3 to 4-fold the amount previous. Their income could well balloon to unheard of levels, and you may be shocked to understand and know that they're going to have to take those distributions over 10 years now as a result of the SECURE Act versus 30 to 40 years. Huge tax increase that happened in the SECURE Act at the end of 2019. Again, that was the beginning of the previous 6 months. Significant change that occurred, and we need to talk about that and how that impacts you and what you might do as a result.
2019 seems like 10 years ago, though. I mean, March, the beginning of March feels like maybe 4 years ago.
It does.
I feel completely disoriented.
It's amazing to think about the just in perspective, all the things that the hoops that everybody had to jump through. We were doing Zoom calls into TCM 6 weeks ago because we couldn't come into the station because of the pandemic and the requirements that were placed through the state of Michigan.
Remember the lack of traffic on the streets.
That was so nice.
Remember, you could just drive like 90 down Garf. Well, not that I did. Not, no.
But, wow, look at me.
Yeah.
So it has changed dramatically, and we've seen so many dynamic shifts that I think it's tough for all of us to keep perspective given our recent history. And what's really happening? The laws changed dramatically. So how do we adjust? How do we make the best decisions for the future? We're going to have to pivot. Everyone is going to have to pivot in what's going on.
Because it's really hard to keep all of these new rules in your mind when they follow so closely on each other and knock out some of the stuff that you just learned because it's not in force anymore. So it's coming out on the other side, you have to wade through all these rules to find out exactly what you need to do with your own planning.
If you're willing to make these changes that you previously thought was already written in stone, if you're willing to pivot on this, you'll make a huge difference for yourself and for your children too that would be measurable in significant sums. And we talked about this before the show. frankly, we're going to have some more serious conversations ongoing with our clients, especially those with the larger retirement accounts, because the tax man cometh. And it think about this. Not only was that a significant tax increase, but wait, this current tax law sunsets in 2026. And what did you say, Shay, about our view of the future and our ability to do that? You had a quote.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, how when you ask people to envision their future self, they have about as much emotional attachment to that person as they do their great, great Aunt Ethel. I mean, you don't have an emotional bond because you know that between now and when where you visualize yourself in, say, 20 or 30 years, you just can't do it. There's too many variables and things that will change, and we're seeing that now, and I think people are paying attention to the news because it's changing so fast, and it's and they're forgetting that the Secure Act, the CARES Act, the stimulus check, all this is going to checks are going to affect their planning in the near future. It's not going to be necessarily that far out. So we're trying to, in today's show, bring it closer to home and help you see how it can. You need to make choices now that will affect your family soon.
Picture this, Ron. You've got a $3 million IRA and one child. $3 million. Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
One child.
Yep.
And, you know, it's easy for me to say this, but let's say you and spouse are removed from this earth next year. That child would have to take a they wouldn't have to. That's the interesting part. If they were splitting the distribution over the 10-year period, which they have to take it, they would have to take $300,000 per year
per year.
That's what I'm talking about, a tax bracket.
Assuming we left the money to the child.
And assuming you left 100% of the funds to that child.
Yes.
Now, obviously, you wouldn't have to do that.
That's huge.
It is huge. And think about this as the next step. Let's assume that you didn't want all of it to go to that child because you were trying to control the outcome. We don't want that child to receive those funds. Well, previously, the trust could have been viewed as a see-through trust, and that child would have had to been limited as to how they could take it out. Now, it's 10 years regardless. Mm. So that trust, in many cases, has been removed as a useful tool for those who follow, and it's not a useful tool for you to, in many instances, leave that IRA to that trust now. It's basically made that trust worthless in most respects in terms of controlling the outcome that you wanted to happen, because you basically mentioned it almost non-consciously, or unconsciously, if you will, because who wants a child to get $300,000 per year? That's way too much responsibility. Exactly the reason that trust was written to help control that. Sorry.
So
that just got removed.
None of that's grandfathered in. Like, if you paid someone to do a trust and you've laid it out as of this, what act is this one? The
Secure Act.
Secure Act.
So you're just trying to keep track of that.
He made one up.
The Secure Act has made most trusts. The Secure Act has made most of those trusts worthless in terms of their ability to handle and control the IRA outcome.
That's what scares me about a Roth IRA. It's like, oh, great. You're going to pay your tax now and you don't have to pay it later.
Right.
Unless they change the law.
Yeah, that's always the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why you want to approach this as another diversification tool, not an end-all answer. Mm-hmm.
So what's your strategy in general, then, for families that don't want to leave that $3 million to one child, in your example, and have him or her get the $300,000 a year?
So what's the solution?
Yes.
About three. There may be several. Consider taking more QCDs, qualified charitable distributions, taking some more income now. Two, consider the Roth conversion, perhaps. Three, take more distributions at today's low tax rates and possibly buy, this is not fun to say even on the radio, life insurance. Life insurance is going to have much more value in terms of passing that on, because that asset still goes tax-free to the children. And you can still control it through a trust if you're concerned about that child having that kind of a lump sum. So it's... You see where it's an opportunity? as well as almost a sword that could hurt as well. So it's a double-edged instrument that can be more valuable to you if you're willing to begin to navigate those changes.
As people become more aware of this, those that really are impacted, are you seeing already, you're busier in your practice with people coming in saying, here's my individual situation, Dennis, what can we do here?
Our conversations are becoming more and more complex.
Yeah. They are. Oh. And all the different changes has created confusion and a lot of conversations about what is the rule and which one is in effect and am I okay where I'm at and what do I need to go back in and maybe have another discussion about my trust or whatever item it is that you're worried about.
Yes. Now, the SECURE Act, to answer that kind of question, if you will, before we go to break, does four major things, and we'll take a break. Number one, it eliminates the age limit for making traditional IRA contributions. You could be 80 years old, and if you have earned income, you can still make an IRA contribution. Think about it, Heidi. Isn't that exciting?
It is exciting.
Two, increases the required minimum distribution age to age 72. 72 now is the new RMD age. Three, allows penalty-free withdrawals for birth or adoption. And four, eliminates the stretch IRA, which we've already alluded. Now, there are two others that are more minor in effect, but those are the big four from the Stretch Act, or the SECURE Act, rather.
The Stretch Act. Another new act.
The Sarsaparilla Act.
Good. No, there was the... Yes, that too. The Mountain Dew Act.
The
eliminates
rhubarb.
The Stretch IRA, the Mountain Dew Act, okay. Sarsaparilla.
Oh, my goodness.
Sarsaparilla, what is that? All right, let's go down that rabbit trail, shall we?
There are some good Chase stats today. The Fed was purchasing $75 billion per day of Treasury bonds in mid-March of 2020 when it launched unlimited quantitative easing. The daily debt purchases made by the Fed have slowed, dropping to just $4.5 billion per day of Treasury bonds acquired last week.
Wow.
Congress and the Fed have spent about 75% of the GDP in the last months.
Yeah.
Getting this economy back on track, if you will.
And they want more, too. The governors are begging for more money.
More.
We need more money.
That goes from the break. Thank you.
The nation's 13.3 jobless rate as of May 31st, 2020 would have been an estimated 16.3% if the workers who were being paid wages from funds obtained through a payroll protection program, PPP loan, were counted as temporarily laid off instead of actively employed. Mm.
What was the percentage difference again? Say that.
About 3% difference.
Three?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So either way, they were still getting their income was due to money from the federal government, from
Correct.
Taxpayers.
Yes.
It just
in
came
essence,
from a different department.
The SBA, in yeah. essence. You bet.
And that's from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. This one's interesting, talking about pensions, which we keep bringing up. The city of Detroit filed for bankruptcy on July 18th of 2013. A court-approved reorganization plan was finalized on November 7th of 2014, which included pension cuts to 32,000 active and retired city workers. All 32,000 impacted workers, except for police and firefighters, suffered a 4.5% reduction in their pension, and they lost all cost of living adjustments in the future. That's
so a 4.5% reduction in their pension? Okay.
And that's from the U.S. Bankruptcy Court. So, you know, for people who are counting on that pension, we've watched them slowly get taken away or reduced. And
is there a
that is another moving target again. Some pension plans, you hear rumors back and forth. Well, this pension plan is okay, but others are not necessarily. And will those benefits be cut or, in some cases, removed altogether? So the pension plans previously thought of as basically untouchable, all of a sudden because of today's low interest rates, historically low interest rates, makes them much more difficult for companies and institutions to carry them on as a defined benefit plan because they're all based, the contributions within are based on interest rates. As interest rates go down, the contributions have to go up to make those benefits work over a period of years.
Years ago, you had, I think, GM offered a buyout.
They did.
And 7 years ago, we did that.
Have you had any other smaller firms or any other action like that since? Any other firms where they offered employees or retirees a buyout on their pension?
Well, Munson Healthcare got rid of their pension plan for current employees many years ago, offered other plans in its place, but that was a wise financial decision for Munson to have made in light of what's happening now.
Yeah.
That liability would have only grown dramatically as a result of lower interest rates, because it's an inverse relationship. As interest rates go down, the funding that's required, again, by those institutions to put into those plans, the dollars that have to be contributed increase dramatically.
So when you say, when you broke it down there, would it be safe to say when you hear about government pensions, it's boring, but municipalities, schools, Chicago, Illinois are prime examples. They put money in for their employees' pension. They bank on a certain percentage increase on interest. When the interest doesn't pay off, it's their responsibility to put more money to keep that pension where it should be. And if they're not doing that, that's where you get into trouble.
That's where they get into being upside down and their ability to make good on the liabilities of the future payments that plan requires.
So it requires responsible management.
It does. And trying to gaze into the future on that one, that's why most of them are not willing to gaze into the future on the future liability of pension plans.
And that's why even though...
Wait, hold on there, Heidi. Oh. There we go.
Even though you may have a pension, you also want to plan for your other assets, because to have a backup plan or some other source of funds that can help you if something like that happens. So it all comes back to that planning element so that you're best positioned in retirement.
Plan for a variety of occurrences as not only your pre-retirement, but also as you age through retirement. Diversification as to financial outcome is critical. You know, who believes that Social Security will never be changed? That's not going to happen. If we get, I probably shouldn't dive into this, but I'm going to say it anyway. If we get someone other than President Trump being elected, the tax on Social Security is apparently, according to the proposal, going to double for those who are paying into Social Security. We'll see whether or not that actually happens and passes Congress. But that's what's been rumored. You know, right. The tax alone on Social Security may rise dramatically with a new administration. Mm. We'll see.
You have a comment here?
Well, let's see. I'm 30 years old. Not me, the texter here.
Oh, the texter.
I'm 29. But I'm 30 years old, and I have enjoyed listening to New Retirement Radio. Learned some things. Thanks for the show, guys. Nick in Petoskey.
Aw, that's nice. Awesome. Hi, Nick.
Thank you, Nick. Love it. So we also have the Heidi Social Security info. Do we have time before the break, Ron?
Yes,
How
we do.
How are we doing?
Let's do the Heidi Social Security info.
Right. So last week we talked about we've been getting a new newsletter from the Ed Slott organization on Social Security. So we're just going a little deeper into the newsletter, and I thought there was some interesting ideas in the mailbag section. They had someone writing in asking the question if they had already started receiving Social Security and circumstances had changed. Is there any way to stop, or is there any way to let that income benefit grow by stop taking Social Security? And so there's two different strategies for a do-over. They call them the do-over strategies. So this is for people who have already started taking Social Security and may now want to change that and stop doing that. So the first strategy is for people who started Social Security in the last 12 months. So if it hasn't been a year since you started it, you can do a do-over where you repay the money that you have received, the benefit you've received, and you can stop taking Social Security, and it will be as if you hadn't taken it, and you'll continue to accrue your credits towards your full retirement age or your benefit that you would receive later on.
So you have to repay everything you made in the last 12 months or less than 12 months, everything.
Right. So if you were like listening to the show, or maybe you lost your job and you started Social Security, but then you found another one and you're like, oh, I don't need this right now. I'd rather let that benefit grow.
And or I don't want to pay the penalty because I'm only 63 years old and I'm going to pay a significant penalty for taking my Social Security benefit when I just found this great job.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
But would a lot of people be in a position to do that, to pay back $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, or they have to do it all at once, I guess. They
right.
can't work out a program to pay it back gradually?
Well, you have to pay it back. And so you could, if it's only been a couple of months, maybe it's under $10,000 or something like that, depending on how much your benefit is. So it's just, if you pulled the trigger and then you're like, I shouldn't have done that, it gives you an option to get out of that situation. So. Okay.
Which can make a significant difference in your benefits later in life. And that's the key reason, obviously, to do something like that, as well as the significant cost that might be entailing, given the significant benefit cut you'll get from Social Security.
That is the one thing I hear from friends over 60, is if they took Social Security early, but then they want to work. Like, they do it for a while, and they're like, oh, man, this is kind of... I want a job. I want to go back to work. Mm-hmm. They think it's going to be awesome, and then they change their minds. So it's nice that that's an option for them. Now I know, and now I can tell them.
And you can tell. But one thing to keep in mind is any other individuals that are receiving benefits based on yours, so say a husband and wife, and the other spouse, they would have to stop their benefits as well. So you want to make sure for those unintended consequences that you think about the whole picture, that who else you may affect and what other benefits may be affected by that decision. So let's jump into the second one if we have time here.
We do.
The second do-over strategy is for people who have gone beyond that year mark and they are at full retirement age. So the full retirement age is when you get your full benefit. And right now we're in a period of a graduated scale. It's all depending right now on what year you were born.
Now it's about 66 in a few months.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it goes all the way up. I know for myself, mine is 67. So.
Yeah. That's because she's so young, right?
Yeah, I know.
Right. So once you hit full retirement age, if you're taking Social Security benefits, you do have the option where you can suspend those benefits. So maybe you started taking it at 64, your full retirement age was 66, and you're now 66 and you found another job, or you find that you'd rather have that benefit increase, you'd rather see a little more income coming in, and you have enough to bridge the time period, you can suspend your benefits and let those benefits grow, and that's about at an 8% per year rate. And then you can turn them back on later on, 70, 69, whatever fits your circumstance.
What would be the possible benefits of somebody stopping their benefit? Let's say the possible positive, let's say, of someone stopping their benefit at age 66, for instance, and then waiting until age 70. Why would that make a difference?
Well, maybe you took it early, and like you indicated, you took a reduction in that benefit that you received because you took it early. This would be a way to make up for that. If you're still working or you want to go back to work, you could stop that benefit, let the benefit grow, and so it would be larger when you eventually do turn it back on.
Great. I was thinking, too, in terms of a spouse. If your spouse is going to be collecting benefits based on yours, he or she then would get an increased benefit for both income while you're alive and if you predecease your spouse.
Yeah, that's an important thing that people don't realize is that when you have a benefit, your spouse, if they're using a spousal benefit, they get half of your benefit. So if one of the couple passes away, the remaining person only gets to have one benefit. So you get the larger benefit. So
the larger of your own or that of your spouse.
Exactly.
And if your spouse is the one that waited to increase their benefit, then in essence, you, the surviving spouse, you're getting a death benefit from Social Security, a much greater income than you might otherwise, given that that person waited. See what we're saying? So it's to say in our instance, I'm getting the larger benefit between myself and Jill. Well, if I wait on my benefit and I predecease her, which most likely I will, she will have gotten that increased benefit because I waited. She'll get a bigger income. So lots of benefits.
So you could leave your spouse in a better situation by waiting and giving them that option.
Are there some people that do not collect Social Security, government workers, school, college employees that get pensions?
Yep. Some postal workers will have their own pension, and it's offset by Social Security.
So they don't pay into Social Security, and they don't receive Social Security, or are we?
No, they in essence pay into their own pension, and it's a replacement of Social Security, but they can't, in some cases, they can't collect both.
If you want to come in and meet with us, you've been listening to the show, you want to talk to someone about where you're at, call our office, 947-3992. Heidi does all of our number one intake meetings. So if you're new to us, you sit with Heidi and she helps you sort through everything and looks at how we can help you. We have a really unique office. There's 9 of us, 2 advisors, quite an extensive client experience, meaning it's the service of the employees that are in touch with you all the time. They know all of our clients. We meet every single morning to talk about where things are at and Dennis and Heidi's recommendations and what they're seeing and the information they're getting. So it's a team approach, and we'd love to see if we can help you. And that's, you know, that's one of the big motivations of doing the show. Yes, we love the public service of it and informing people. But, you know, we're also looking for people who fit with us. So we'd love to see you. And we know that things are changing really fast, and it's creating a lot of doubt and insecurity. I mean, we laugh because even our own clients will come in and say, oh, I heard I never have to blank again, like take RMDs. Or we're like, no. You know, things are just changing so fast. So it'd be a good time to come in and just see where you're at, and we can help you out. Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.